So this message is how to nourish your soul with the Word of God. Father, I pray that you would be with us as we open up your Word and begin to look at nourishing our souls with your Word, that you'd make us proficient in this, that, Lord, you'd give us dedication to it, that, Lord, you would help us to discipline ourselves for the purpose of godliness. We pray that we would be like that godly man in Psalm 1 who his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. So we pray, Lord, that you'd come and help us to see how to do that and how we can be strong Christians, how we can commune with you regularly, day by day. In Jesus' name, amen. So we all know how to nourish our physical bodies, don't we? How would you say a person, if they want to nourish their body, what would they need to do?
They need to eat and they need to drink.
Yes. And what kinds of things would they need to eat if they want to have a healthy body? Okay, fruits and vegetables, maybe some lean meats, maybe some good proteins, juice, nuts, things like that. But what if you want to nourish your soul? Is there something you can do to nourish your soul just like there's a way you can do to nourish your body? Well, we nourish our soul by taking in the Word of God. The Word of God is like our food. It's food, it's spiritual food. It's food for the soul rather than for the body. And the authors of the Bible had a whole lot to say about this subject, about God's Word being food for the Christian. So let's take a look at some of these texts. I've got, I believe, five opening texts that I just want to look at briefly. And the first one is from Job 23:12. This is what Job had to say. He said, I have treasured the words of his mouth, that's God's mouth, more than my necessary food. So Job understood that God's words were like food for his soul, and he treasured those words more than his physical food. Now, how many of you and I, how many of us can truthfully say that we value God's word more than our physical food? That we would rather eat the Word of God than eat physical food. That's what Job is saying. He said it was, he treasured it more, meaning he put a higher value on God's Word than on his daily intake of calories or whatever he was eating that day. Okay, let's look at another one, Jeremiah 15:16. Jeremiah said, your words were found, and I ate them, and your words became to me a joy and the delight of my heart. So again, God's words were like food for Jeremiah. He said he's eating the Word of God. And not only did he eat them, but they became to him a source of joy and delight to his life. Sometimes I think Christians can look at the responsibility that we have to be in the Scriptures as a chore, a distasteful chore that we've got to get through. But that's not at all how the authors of Scripture looked at it. It was a joy and it was a delight to them to do so. 1 Peter 2:2, here's another text. Peter says, like newborn babies, long for the pure milk of the Word, so that by it you may grow in respect to salvation. When our boys were born as little babies, I remember thinking, either they're sleeping or they're crying because they want to eat. It seems like those are the only two things they did for a long time. They wanted to eat or they wanted to go to sleep. And he says, we're like little babies, just like a newborn baby longs for the milk of its mother's milk. So you too, you be like them. You too long for the milk of the Word. And why? What would be the result of a person longing for the milk of the Word? You'd be fed. But in the text it tells us, so that, and here's the reason, so that by it you may grow in respect to salvation. So do you want to grow spiritually? That's what Peter's addressing. Not physical growth, but spiritual growth. Do you want to mature in Christ? He says the Word of God is the way you do that. It's by longing for the pure milk of the Word, so that by that you may grow in respect to your salvation. You get stronger and stronger in the Lord as you take in God's Word, just like you get strong physically by taking in food every day. And here we have a text, Matthew 4. This is speaking about the temptation of Jesus in the wilderness. The devil came and tempted Jesus to turn the stones into bread. And our text says, when the devil tempted Jesus to command stones to become bread to satisfy his hunger, Jesus answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." So Jesus understood that just as his physical life was sustained by bread, he knew his spiritual life was sustained by every word that comes from God. So we need to be just as concerned, and maybe more concerned, about our spiritual lives than we are about our physical lives, because they have more value in the end. You're going to exist eternally, either in heaven or hell. This life is a preparation for heaven. We're growing in our relationship to God in this lifetime until we meet him face to face. John 6, 31 to 33. Now here Jesus is speaking to a great crowd of people. These were mainly unbelieving Jews, and he told them, "Our fathers ate the manna in the wilderness. As it is written, he gave them bread out of heaven to eat." This is the unbelieving Jews. That's what they said. And then Jesus responded to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, it is not Moses who has given you the bread out of heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread out of heaven. For the bread of God is that which comes down out of heaven and gives life to the world." Now, Jesus here is comparing himself to the manna that God provided the Israelites as they wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. Are you guys all familiar with that story? How are 2 million Jews going through a wilderness? They don't stay anywhere for very long. They can't be farmers because they're always traveling. How are they going to survive? How are they going to get the food they need for 40 years for 2 million people? God's answer is that he's going to give them bread from heaven. And so every morning when they woke up, they would look out of their tent flap and they would see this flaky, crusty, white stuff all over the ground. And it was manna. And they would go out and gather it up, and that would be their food for the day. It had all the nutrition that they needed to survive and to do very well physically and give them strength for the journey. But they had to do it every day. Now, if they tried to store up too much, like if they said, "Hey, I'm just going to get twice as much today," the Bible says that it bred worms and spoiled, because God didn't want them doing it, storing up one day's supply for 2 days. He wanted them to go out and gather it every day. And the problem with us Christians is that we try to store up the Word of God for more than one day. In other words, we come to church and we gorge ourselves on the Word. And we think, that'll last me the rest of the week. I never have to pick up my Bible again until I come back to church. Well, we're making the same mistake the Israelites did. We're trying to store it up, and it will breed worms and be foul and will spoil. So Jesus is comparing himself, the living Word, to the manna that God provided. And so just as the Israelites went out every day, so we need to, every day, go out and receive afresh the Word of God, that it will make us strong spiritually. So what have we learned from these 5 or 6 passages that we just read? Well, God's Word is like food for our souls, number one. God's Word is more valuable than our physical food. God's Word will provide us with joy and delight. God's Word enables us to grow spiritually. And God's Word should be fed on every day. Would you say that's pretty accurate? Okay. So that as an introduction, I want to share with you 7 things that you can do to nourish your soul on God's Word every day. Remember, we're in the middle of a series I'm calling Christianity 101. This is the basics. Now, up until now, I've spent all my time talking about basic doctrine and theology. This one's not that. This one's really, really practical. What I want to do today is equip you to have communion with God through his Word every day, that you would be strong spiritually. So the very first one is prioritize God's word. And what I mean by that is that we need to make a commitment to start every day with God's word. Just as the Israelites would start every one of their days going out and gathering the manna, we should start our day with God's word. If we're going to treasure God's word more than our necessary food, then we have to put a higher priority on God's word than our necessary food. Wouldn't you say? Ray Comfort, he came up with a slogan, no Bible, no breakfast. That was it. That was his slogan. And I think he probably got that from Job 23:12, because Job said, I treasured God's word more than my necessary food. So Ray Comfort said, okay, no Bible, no breakfast. I'm not eating today until I eat the word, because it's more important than my physical food. And sometimes I'm amazed that Christians who've been walking with the Lord and had they been saved for many years don't make the word of God a priority in their life. That shouldn't be. By the time we have grown in the Lord, we've been 2, 3, 4 years old in the Lord, this should be a habit of our life. This should just be something that is instinctive to the soul of the Christian, that he needs to start his day with God. There's going to be obstacles, right? We all face obstacles. It takes discipline to do this, because before I retired and I owned a business and I had to be someplace early in the morning, this meant that I had to find a way to spend time with God before I left the house, which meant I have to get up earlier that day, which meant I had to go to bed earlier the night before. And all of that takes discipline. But if you treasure God's word more than your necessary food, that means that we're going to be willing to make some sacrifices so that we can commune with God. So if we struggle with the sin of laziness, then we're going to have to put that sin to death if we're going to make the word of God a priority. We have to identify what's stopping us from having communion with God on a regular basis, and then deal with that thing. Okay, so very first thing is just simply to prioritize it. Secondly, read God's word. Now this is super simple, isn't it? How many of you can read? Everybody here, I assume. I think Anna was the only one that came today that can't read yet. So I don't really need to explain much about this one. It's really easy. We just open our Bibles and we read it. We read other things all the time, right? I don't read newspapers, but I know some people read a newspaper. We read online blogs and posts. We read menus when we go to the restaurant. We read the sports because we want to be kept up on what's happening. We read the news. So we know how to read. We're talking here about reading the most important thing. So my recommendation for you guys is not to try to read too much so that you can't have any time to meditate on what you're reading. I know that a lot of people really recommend trying to read through the Bible in a year. And I've tried to do that, and I found I was not getting very much out of my Bible reading because I had to read 3 to 5 chapters every day, and I had no time to stop and really think about what I was reading very much. So what I enjoy is to cut that down to a manageable size, so I might spend maybe 15 minutes or less reading, and I have the rest of the time to be able to think about it. Because that's where the fruitfulness is taking place, the meditation. If you don't already have a plan, our church has a Bible reading plan, and I can print out copies for anybody who wants one of those, so that if you want to do this, you can just check them off every day and read. Right now we're in Job, and I'm sorry about that, because Job is not an easy book. Neither was Revelation. We're going through two books that are difficult right in a row, but we'll get through Job, and then we're going on to the Psalms, and you're going to love it, because there's so much practical, personal stuff in the Psalms. So I try to keep it to maybe a chapter or two at the most. Okay, so prioritize God's word, read God's word. Number 3, meditate on God's word. Psalm 1, and we already read this, says that the blessed man meditates on God's word day and night. And to meditate on something is to mull it over in your mind. It's not just to read it and it's in one ear, out the other. It's to stop and think about it. So in order to meditate, we have to slow down and focus on something in particular from what we have read that day. Some people will actually, instead of just reading the Bible, they'll write the Bible. Because it slows them down so much that they have to really think about it, because it takes time to write out a verse of Scripture. So if you've never tried that, you might try that one morning. Just take a passage. I would not take Job to do this, but maybe one of the New Testament epistles would be great for this, and just take 2, 3, 4 verses and write them out, and you'd be surprised that you're slowing down so much, you're thinking about the individual words and what that text means more than just glossing over it. So Debbie and I have been having our devotions now for probably a couple months, I would say. So every morning we gather in the kitchen table and we open our little Bible reading plan. We find out what chapter we're reading for the day, and Debbie reads it to me. And then if we can't figure it out, I'll go to some other sources to try to help us understand some of those things, like Blue Letter Bible app has got some good helps. But we're always looking for our takeaway. And our takeaway is something where God has spoken to you from something in that section of Scripture. Do you know what I mean by a takeaway?
Yes.
It's like when God rings your bell, He's getting your attention. I want you to think about this. This is something you need to focus on today. So as you're reading, try to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, what do you want me to really think about today from this chapter I'm reading? Okay? And that can be what you meditate on, whatever that is, your takeaway for the day. So once you identify it, then you can begin to mull it over in your mind. And I've given you an example in your notes here from Psalm 23, verse 1. And we all know this, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." But let's say you wanted to meditate on that one verse. You could do it by emphasizing different words. So you could say, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He is the one who is my shepherd." And I think about that for a moment. "The Lord is my shepherd." This isn't a wish or a hope. It's a truth. He is my shepherd. Or you could say, "The Lord is my shepherd." Not just somebody else's. He's mine. And think about that for a moment. "The Lord is who? He's my shepherd." Well, what does a shepherd do for sheep? Think about all the things that shepherds do, how they care for them and guide them and feed them and protect them and watch over them. That's what God is for you. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." Or, "I shall not want." I definitely will not. Or, "I shall not want," meaning I shall not lack for any good thing. The Lord will take care of every need. Do you see how just taking the one verse, and it's like taking a diamond and looking at it from 7 different angles, and you see a different beauty to that gemstone. We're taking one verse of Scripture and looking at it from 7 or 8 different angles, and we're seeing different things. Truth is flowing from that Scripture because you've just taken the time to mull that over in your mind. We're not speed reading here. We're thinking deeply here. And this is one of the things that I think a lot of Christians just never learn the art of. And it's the most helpful thing in your spiritual life, is to meditation. Because now, when you go out throughout the day, let's say you're doing something that doesn't require other thought, you can say, "What was that scripture I was meditating on this morning? Oh yeah, the Lord is my shepherd." And you can bring it back, and you can go over it again in your mind. Okay, number 4, memorize God's word. How many of you actively do this, at least from time to time? You'll find a scripture that's meaningful to you, and so you'll actually take the time to memorize that scripture. Okay, super, super helpful. And you know why? When you memorize, you have to meditate while you're memorizing it. It's an aid to meditation. That's the most helpful thing about memorizing scripture, is that you are meditating on the scripture while you're memorizing it. So I would say number 4 is the way to do number 3. So if you have a takeaway, let's say there's one verse out of the chapter that you really are focusing on and you feel like the Holy Spirit is ringing your bell. Verse 14, okay, I'm going to memorize that verse then. And you know what? To memorize one verse of Scripture may only take you a minute or two. Maybe. I'm not saying it does always. If it's a short one, like we already know Psalm 23, most of it, just because we've heard it so many times in our lifetime. When the apostles are writing the letters to the churches, and oftentimes they quote Scripture, do you think that they are going to their cabinet and opening up their scrolls and trying to find it so that they can write it out exactly? It's coming from their heads. They've memorized it. And when Jesus is quoting Scripture to the devil, do you think he's got his scroll and say, wait a minute, devil, I got to look this up? Jesus, no, he's had it memorized. We should be like that. We should know the Word of God well enough that it's in our minds. Thy Word have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Psalm 119. So that's number four. Number five, journal God's Word. And this is taking it one step further. This means that when you read, you keep a notebook and a pen by you. And when God gives you a takeaway that you've meditated on, what you can do is write your thoughts out from that meditation for the day. I do this every morning. That's when I put my thing on WhatsApp, it's because I've just done that morning. And what I found is if I just read something, very little retention. If I read and meditate, more retention. But if I read, meditate, and journal, a lot of retention. A lot. It's much, maybe 50 to 75% more retention than if I just read it. So this is just simply slowing down and taking the time to take pen to paper and write your thoughts out. And I would encourage you, get a notebook, and at the top of every day, write the date, write the scripture, read it, meditate, and then write your meditation out. And if you think it would be helpful to the rest of the church, post it. Post it on WhatsApp for the day so that we can be blessed by your meditation. Is that making sense? Does journaling make sense? How many of you already journal? Nobody? Okay, well, that's good. A little bit. Maybe today will be the start of something new for you. I hope it will. All right, number six, pray God's Word. So spending time in God's Word, reading it and meditating, that's great, but we want to have communion with God through the Word. And one of the best ways you can do that is to take God's Word and use it for prayer. So one of the ways, let's say you have a takeaway and you've meditated on something and you feel like the Holy Spirit has spoken to you about an issue in your life, then talk to God about that. That's as simple as that. Say, Lord, you showed me this. I don't really think I'm doing that well in this area. God, please help me. Give me the grace and the power of the Holy Spirit to make changes in my life so that I'm living out what you just showed me today from your Word. You see? So that's one. That's a kind of a general way to pray God's Word. But there's also a real specific way, and that is to go to the Word, read one line, and pray about that line that you just read. Read a second line and pray about that, whatever it was. So, and I'm going to give you an example here from Colossians 3. First of all, you can make it personal, like if it's saying, well, therefore, if you, church, have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God, set your mind, you can change all that to, if I have been raised up with Christ, if Brian has been raised up with Christ, then Brian needs to keep seeking the things above where Christ is. Brian needs to set his mind on the things above, not on the things that are on earth. For Brian has died, and my life is... You see what I'm doing? I'm just changing one word, but I'm making it personal so that I feel the effect of the word on my soul that morning. So, and I don't know if you've ever tried to do that, to pray the word. But this is super powerful, and it can be a rich time of devotion if you try that. And I would encourage you, give this a try this week. Try journaling, try praying the word this week. And I think you're going to be blessed by these things. So I've given a sample of what a prayer might look like from Colossians 3, 1-4. Lord, you have raised me up with Christ. Help me to seek the things above today, Lord. I need your grace to set my mind on the things above and not on the things that are on earth. Help me, Lord, to be heavenly minded. Lord, you have crucified my old man together with Christ. I've died. And it is true, my life is hidden with Christ in God. That's why I have such a wonderful hope. When Christ is revealed, you also will reveal me with you in glory, Lord, and I can't wait for that day. So we're simply taking scripture and we're turning it into prayer. Okay? Number 7, live God's word, which means we actually do what we read in the Bible to do. We actually put it into practice. And to help you with this, I found this little, what do you call those?
Acronym.
Okay, SPEC, S-P-E-C-K. S is for, is there any sin in this passage to confess that I'm committing? And the Lord has put his spotlight on his word and he's shown me sin in my life, so I need to confess that sin. P, is there a promise in this text for me to claim? That I need to claim that promise by faith today. E, is there any example I need to follow? Sometimes it'll be a bad example. Like Eliphaz in the book of Job, we found that sometimes he gives us a bad example. We don't want to follow his example. But we also see the example of Job in the first two chapters. Amazing example of faithfulness to God. So we want to follow that one. C, is there a command to obey here? If there is, let me take note of that and let me pray about that command, that I would actually obey that command in my life. And number 5, is there knowledge to pursue? Sometimes you're not going to see anything really practical, but you will pinpoint something you want to know or understand better. And so that, you can identify that and say, I want to put some effort into growing in that area of doctrine. Like maybe it's understanding the Trinity better, or I just threw that out. But there's some area that you want to do more research on, or you want to grow in that area. So that's how you can apply it, is say, okay, I'm going to spend 30 minutes today looking into that doctrine, and I want to understand it better. So that's the SPEC method, and I want to encourage you to try that. If you can't find anything to apply, use the SPEC method, and I think you will find something. So these are 7 different ways to nourish our souls on the Word of God. Prioritize, read, meditate, memorize, journal, pray, and live. And I want us as a church to do this together so that it can become more concrete, perhaps. So let's take Psalm 23 and let's apply these steps to Psalm 23.